We have here a Gemara in Baba Brachas. There are two Gemaras which deal with our parsha. Start with the second first, and then we move on to the, together with the first, hopefully be an added schmooze. But starting with the second, the Gemara is about seven lines from the bottom. Amrav Yitzchak, Eim Amidim Parnes Awad Sibur, Edim Kem Nimlochem Et Sibur. This is a halacha. It's we learn out from our parsha, a halacha, that you're not supposed to, and not allowed to appoint. Parnes means someone who's in charge, a leader, person in a position of leadership on the Tzibur, unless you check with the community that they approve. Shenemar Ru'u Kar Hashem B'Shem B'Tzado. In other words, Ru'u, apparently, they're darshing the Pasuk, that Hashem is appointing B'Tzado, but he's telling Klai Yisrael, Ru'u, I want you to see, means I want your input, I want your approval. So Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, Hagan Alecha B'Tzado, Moshe, is B'Tzado favorable in your eyes? In other words, first Hashem checks with Moshe, is he agreeable? Amrelo, so Moshe answered, Hashem, in the Fanecha Hagan, you're ready to appoint him, you're just asking for my approval. If you feel he's proper, the Fanei Dokoshen, you think I have an opinion, if you think he's the right person, of course, I approve whatever you approve. Amrelo, Abal Bikain, nonetheless, even though you have that Kavah Chomer, Leich Emorlehem, go check with Klai Yisrael also. Honach the Amorlehem, Yisrael, he went and asked Klai Yisrael, Hagan Aleichem B'Tzado. He asked Klai Yisrael the same question, do you approve of B'Tzado? Amrelo, they gave the same answer. Even if they had Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Fanechu Hagan, if Hashem says he's fine and you think he's fine, the Fanechu Koshkin, do we have an opinion? Okay, so that's the Gemara. So I think there's a, just right here, is a very fascinating shmooze. Because Baruch Hu comes to Moshe, says, basically says, Moshe, I want to appoint B'Tzado for this position. But before I do so, I want to double check, I want your approval. What do you think? Moshe responds, Ben Hashem, if you say that's the right person, then who am I to say anything? Now, obviously, that was the right response. And if Moshe would have said, well, you know, Hashem, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't really like B'Tzado. That would have been a tremendous chutzpah. You know, Hashem says, I think B'Tzado's the right person. What do you think? No, I don't agree. There's no havamina under the sun that Moshe would have said anything different than what he said. That is halakhically, obviously, the right response. That Moshe came with a logical kal v'chomer. If you think he's the right person, then of course I agree. And that was the right response of Klai Yisrael. So if that's the automatic response that Moshe and Klai Yisrael are going to give, so what are you asking them? Akash Baruch Hu knows that this is what Moshe is going to say, meaning not just going to say, he knows the future. He knows that this is what they have to say. They have no brera. This is proper. Of course, Moshe has no choice. You're asking him, you're asking for volunteers when hold the gun to the guy's head. Moshe, do you agree? Now, of course I agree. I don't have a choice not to agree. So why, what is this, what is the value of asking for a volunteer if you basically force a guy to volunteer, right? So what is the value of asking Moshe, do you approve, if Moshe has to approve because there's a kal v'chomer? If Hashem said he's the right person, then of course I approve. What's the value of asking Klai Yisrael if they approve if Klai Yisrael has to say yes? So what you see, a basic lesson, hopefully we'll develop a little more, but a basic lesson of Derech Eretz, that even if the person has no choice, and it's just a formality, and it's just going through the motions, as if you're making believe, as if you're asking them, and you're sort of giving them the permission to say they disagree, even though they can't disagree, because if they would disagree, they would, you know, you would say, we go with the guy, says, do you want to volunteer? Now, you know, if you say no, you're going to be court-martialed. But they're still, it's nicer. They asked me to volunteer. They didn't just tell me to do it, right? They asked Moshe, do you approve? Now, of course, I have to say yes. But they asked me. There's a certain derech eretz. It's like I was thinking of a mashal. We say in the benching, the minig in Klal Yisrael, if we say, Rabbi Yisrael Mevon benching, maybe if you're, you know, and say, you say, Rabbi Yisrael Nevore, for those people who are more modern. Right? But I remember I had some guests once at my house, and instead of saying Rabbi Yisrael, he said, Chaverai, right? Chaverai, Minivarech. Now, that's not derech eretz. What do you mean? Maybe we are chaverim. Who said when I bench? Why do I have to say Rabbi Yisrael? Who am I fooling? You know, the guy. Do I really think the guys are my Rabbi Yisrael? Do you say Bereshus Maram Ran Masai? Did you ever hear anyone benching Bereshus? Someone stopped. I object. No, you can't bench Bereshus. No, stop the benching. I don't give you Bereshus. Right. No one ever is, you know, we don't know what we're saying, but it's a joke. We're asking the people of Bereshus as if you think there's a Havamina that someone's going to come up and say, no, I don't give you Bereshus. The person gets up and makes a speech with the permission of all the distinguished rabbis. And, you know, you think someone's going to come here and say, no, wait, I object. You can't speak. Get off the podium. But that's derech eretz. It's meaningless. It's not, there's not a Havamina under the sun that Moshe was going to say no. But it's derech eretz. You have to treat Moshe with respect and say, Moshe, is it okay with you? And this is, you know, the tzir we had today in the Shmuz, that, you know, Moshe said, Ana Miko Adam, right? Kaval de Kasir. That this is Moshe, it's not just Christ, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's an Ana Mikondam, but, okay, I'm in honor of you. I don't go ahead. I'm not looking for COVID, but you can't insult me. The derech eretz. You can't insult. You can't go ahead and stuff a parnas on me. You got to check with me. Okay. So that would be shmooze number one. Now, I want to use a koyach atzir to make the shmooze a little bit bigger, but the chazal before, very strange chazal. Going back to where it says from here, Amar Rav Yechanan, Shlosh Dvarim Makris Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'atzmo. There are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces himself. The Elohim, which means that like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in total control. Ra'av, if there be a famine in the world. Soiva, if there be just the opposite, a tremendous, I say in English, Soiva. Abundance. Okay, sounds good. In the world. And Parnas, who's going to have the position? Parnas, Toif, okay. Rav, hunger, Dixiv, Kikara, Hashem, the Rav, the Pasuk. Soiva, Dixiv, Cross, Yahoo, Dog, and Rebase, also. Parnas, Toif, Dixiv, they said, Vedabra, Hashem, Omosha, Amor, Rae, Karasi, Bisham, Bitsadil. So, I'm not sure exactly why here they both the Pasuk from Lamed Aleph, and the next Chazal they pulled from Lamed Hey. I didn't really study if there's any difference in the Psukim. There is a slight nuances, but the same thing. It says, Karasi B'Shem B'Sado, I'm calling, which means that they're darshaning that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Poshib Shat, the Chazal is very strange. These three things are Hashem is Makritz, and nothing else. We believe Ashkocha Pratis. We believe everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the Chazal saying? Shlosh Advarim, there are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares himself. You know, and it'd be a raya because Karasi B'Shem, I called B'Sado. And who's going to be a millionaire? That's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who's going to, well, everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you see even later, you see the Evan HaMelech, he brings in numerous Chazals. The same point. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, which I assume the guys did not get up to yet. Adav Sadek Aleph. The Menasseh Nechol Rosh, it's a Pasek. Afido Reish Garnusa. which he says, Rashi explains in a minute what's going to mean, Mishmaya Mukira. That's all min hashamayim. What's Resh Karnusa? So Rashi said, Rashbam, Sar Mun Abayris, the person who's in charge of the pits, of the wells, Mi Yin Mem Imeno Hayayim, Nahashka Sadav, who's going to get to use the well today? Omida Mocher. Bishra Ktani is a very small little honor position, very little power. But still, there's a pasuk, Hashem, Hashem, Hamelocha, Misnas, and Chol Rosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Any Rosh, Hashem appoints. And again, Isla B'Savos, Rav Ozer, Agado, Bini, Voltaire de Vachashrara, don't try running after COVID or position, not COVID, position. Ki HaKol Gozer Ramayda, because it's all men at the side of men Hashem. Fair Yaakov, and then Hashem give it to everyone wants to give it to. That's our Gemara. Ra'o karasi b'shem. And he quotes the pasuk. Shnemar ra'o karasi b'shem b'sad benur. What's interesting is that he's quoting the our Gemara, but he switches the pasuk. He quotes the second pasuk. But okay, anyway, so the Maisa, it's what the same kasha. What's the problem in this Savos Ravos Agado? You tell the kid, don't run after Shrara, because it's mina, there's nothing you can do. It's all mina shemayim. Don't run after anything. It's everything is shemayim. Don't run after money. It's all mina shemayim. Everything in life is mina shemayim. So what it seems, and from the other Gemara Basra, is that what it's saying here is that obviously everything's mina shemayim, but there is a certain amount that the shemayim takes into consideration a person's input. For example, the famous Chayus of Avitz. Chayus of Avitz says that a person really cannot commit suicide. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide if you're going to die or not. But obviously, if a person shoots himself in the head, takes a gun and shoots himself in the head, there's a higher probability that he's going to end up dead. Because HaGufa, because you decided to try and commit suicide, is the reason why Hashem will decide that you should die of suicide. So you don't have a direct input, but an indirect input you have. So you can't tell the person, whatever you do is worthless. Not worthless. It's not up to me, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But my efforts might motivate, so to speak, I don't know the right word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide. Same thing with Ashiris. There is such a concept that what a person wants, a person has mitzvahs, a person has certain schutzim, questions, do you get your schutzim in Oidam Hazeh, be Oidam Haba? So there is a certain concept that B'derech Shadim Rotsa Melech Malichin also, if this is what you want, this is what you're striving for, this is what you're working for, so okay, Hashem will give it to you. Obviously, if you become wealthy, it's not because you Pitochin says it's not you to make yourself wealthy. Pitochin says Hashem was gazer on you to be wealthy. But it is possible, I don't say all the time, but some of the times, that part of the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that you should be wealthy is because of your ishtadlus, because of your desire, because you wanted it so much. So therefore, there were certain svaras where that was brought about, that should come about. What it seems is that Shrara is different than everything else. The Archad Mar says Shrara, Ra'av, and Soiva. That the person has no power. That's what Rabbi Tzavos or Rabbi Ozer Agado is saying. Certain things you want to run after trying to be rich. Okay, it's Min HaShemayim, but you want to put your work on it. Maybe based on that, Hashem will decide to make you rich. But it's a total waste of effort to try and run after Shrara, because your effort has no power, because that's the Gemara, I think that's how he's learned the Gemara and Baba and Brachas, that this is totally beyond Hashem. It's more beyond Hashem, so to speak, than anything else. Which means that they're even indirectly, people don't have an input. So if that's the case, you take these two Gemaras, it's really a stira. The first Gemara, the one after the other, the back to back. The first Gemara says, a group will learn out from the exact same pasuk, especially because the Savor of Ozer switches the pasuk, so it's the same pasuk. So the first Gemara learns out from this pasuk that that Karasi Bishem, that Hashem decides that the human has no input whatsoever when it comes to Shrara. Zero. Zilch. Person has no power. Shrara is purity, 100% decided by Akash Baruch Hu. Less than anything else. There's no input. Then the next Gemara, darshan from the word, that's what we darshan from Karasi, that Hashem's the one in charge. Then we darshan the word Re'eh, it's the same, different places, that, but you gotta ask the people. But what's the point of asking the people if Hashem, it's totally beyond Hashem. That's the Gemara in Brachot, Babasra. That's a tzavos rav ozer. The person, the human, has no input. Right? That's what it says. That when it comes to even the shrara of the well, it's totally determined by Akash Baruch Hu. What I assume that means, that beforehand I was assuming that we asked Moshe. In theory, Moshe could have said no. In practice, of course, Moshe will never say no, because it'd be absurd, it'd be ridiculous. Well, I should say no when Hashem says yes. But in theory, I could say no. When I say in benching, Breshus, Maran Vosai, theoretically, someone could have said, one second, I object. Right? They would throw him out of the Beis Medrash. They would stone him. They would laugh him out. But in theory, you could do that. What it seems from the first Chazal is that even in theory, they can't do it. If Akash Baruch Hu decided that Bisano is supposed to be the manig, the in this position, then Moshe can't say no. Hashem's asking Moshe, but if Moshe wanted to say no, Hashem controls Moshe's brain, and Moshe has to say yes because the shrara is totally controlled by Akash Baruch Hu. There's no shrara is different than other things. It's totally beyond Hashem. So even though you're asking Moshe, but Hashem is deciding, just like Hashem is pulling the strings of everything else, so Hashem is totally pulling the strings. Even if Moshe wanted to say no, he couldn't say no. Because that's the Chazal saying, that Shrara is more than other things. It's totally beyond Hashem. So then it's doubly strange. First you say that Shrara is more than anything else, different than Ashir is, different than other things. This is totally beyond Hashem. People have no input. Zero. Then you say, but Derech Eretz, you have to ask the people for permission. I can't even say no if I wanted to. Yeah, but it's Derech Eretz. It's not nice. Gotta ask you. So it's a tzir in the amount of Derech Eretz. And even to a Moshe Rabbeinu, we very often think that some of these formalities are so silly, they're meaningless. Why do we have to go through the motions? Everybody knows it's not real. We don't mean it. It's just fake, you know, fake formalities that we say, you know, and why do we have to make believe? And who cares? And does it make a difference to anyone? And what you see from here, that even a Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem did it to a Moshe, that even Moshe, Hashem has to do the formality. Moshe, what do you say? Even though Moshe, according to what I'm saying, has two reasons he can't say no. He can't say no because it's intellectually ridiculous. It would be a tremendous chutzpah for him to say no, after Hashem already tells him that he approves, like the Gemara says. And I would say, even if he wanted to be the mechutzah, he couldn't say no. Because Hashem's in control. Hashem obviously wanted Besado. Hashem's not going to let Moshe Rabbeinu interfere with his plans that he wants Besado. So Moshe has zero power to say anything here. But it's Derech Eretz. It's treating Moshe with respect. And Pashtus, the Mashmol says, don't say Beferish, but that's the Pashtus, and it made a difference to Moshe. It wouldn't make a difference in what he have to do it for. That means that Moshe would have been slightly hurt or vice versa, that now we feel slightly happier. I'm not sure which way you want to say it, but it shows the sensitivities of people, that when you do these formalities, it makes Moshe feel better. It makes him, he feels a certain, he feels more respected. He feels, even though it's just purely, he knows it's really just a formality. It's not, in a sense, it's not real. I have no choice. But that gives him a certain sense of feeling respected, which makes him feel better. And if Moshe Rabbeinu needs the formality of acting with respect, even when it's totally meaningless in a sense, then surely everybody else, and we have to be, you know, to treat people with respect, we have to say Rabbeisai rather than Chaverai, besides the fact that that's a Messiah, because it's more respectful. The guy knows you don't mean it, and everyone knows you don't mean it. It doesn't make a difference. It's respectful. You're showing, you're treating people with respect. It's a way, the proper, and this is a mitzvah's essay, deraisa, according to the Gemara. That's how it's quoted down. That when you appoint a sharar on the tzibur, so you're mechuyev to check with them, even though they might not, you know for sure they're going to say yes, and they don't really have a choice to say no, but that is a proper derech eretz to treat the people.